And this morning, if you would have your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul has been showing us our position and place in Christ and what Christ has done for us. And he's going to expound and build upon what he's already shown. The end of last Sunday, we looked at verses 22 and 23 of chapter 1, and it said in that Christ hath put all things, or God had put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to him to be head over all things and gave that to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are the body of Christ. Christ works through us in this world. And he had told his disciples that we would see even greater things done as he works through us than he did when he walked on the earth. And I just want you to realize that some of those things are happening. We're going to be reading the rest of the text in just a moment, but there's amazing things happening in the Middle East. War is raging. People are losing their lives. Real wickedness is there, but people are also coming to Christ. And it's I had called a couple ministries, and after church this morning, if you could all just stay for a moment, I would like to share a couple opportunities that we may have in sharing in a couple ministries in the Middle East right now. But I called the office of One for Israel, which is down in Texas. Their main offices are in Israel. It's Jewish people that started this ministry in Israel. And she said an amazing thing is happening. They're getting a lot of Jewish people that want to get copies of the New Testament. And I just want to share one incident that she shared with me. There was a woman who came, who was originally from Hungary, had come to Israel when she was fairly young with her family. And she wanted to get a copy of the New Testament, and they had them in Hebrew, but she asked if she could get one in Romania, I think. But she asked if she could get one in her native language. They have a worker in that country, and so they called to see if she could help them, and they put her in touch with this woman. They begin to communicate, and this lady, who's in her country she grew up in, shared the gospel with her, and also got her a New Testament, and the woman became a believer in Christ. And just they've developed a real strong friendship as this lady is living in the town that the woman in Israel had grown up in when she was a young girl, and she remembered, as she shared different places in the community, she remembered them, and it meant a lot to her. But that's just one case. There's a number of people asking for New Testaments, wanting to know who Jesus is. But it's not only there. One of the center of all the evil that's spreading throughout the Middle East is Iran. But yet, an amazing thing is happening in Iran. There are more Iranians coming to Christ in Iran than almost any other Muslim country. And even though the Ayatollah has made it perfectly clear, you become a Christian, the best that you will experience is prison, the worst that you will experience is death, yet people are coming to Christ. They see the bankruptcy of the Islamic system and the Muslim belief. And they see the love and forgiveness and truth of the gospel. And they're giving their hearts to Jesus. So pray for both the Jews and the Muslims in the Middle East that they will come to Christ. And that God will continue to do the mighty work that he's doing in hearts and lives over there. And pray that our fellowship can be a help to them. We've supplied money in the past to Friends of Israel. And so may we continue to be a blessing to them. This morning, let's begin reading Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the curse of this world, the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who hath in his rich mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And he hath raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus through good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the tremendous thing that you have done for us in calling us from darkness to light, from rebellion to obedience, and to walk with you in this newness of life. Lord, as we are in the midst of a great spiritual battle in our world today, may we see the high calling that you have placed on each of our lives, and may we seek to honor and to glorify you in all that we say and do. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul is telling us, and once again, our position. Our position in Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ in your life, something happened. There was a transformation that occurred in your heart. You became a new creature. You physically look the same, but you have been transformed spiritually. Remember, a number of years ago, I heard a sermon, and the title of the sermon was Dead Men Walking. And I was thinking, what in the world is this going to be about? Dead men walking. But the whole gist of the sermon was that the majority of the people in the world today, if they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you may think they're alive, but spiritually they are dead. And they are dead, they're still walking, they're still functioning, they're still doing their jobs, they're still going about whatever their life would be about, but spiritually they're dead, and they're dead men walking. And there's coming a day where they will have to face the full consequences of the choices to remain as a dead man walking instead of being quickened or made alive by Jesus Christ. Today, many churches don't even want to preach about judgment anymore. They don't want to preach about the second coming of Christ. Don't want to preach about prophecy. Don't want to preach about... Well, all of a sudden you start to begin to look and you're leaving out half the Bible. It's important that we understand what Jesus has done for us. This morning, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're here, and I trust that most of you are, that you understand your position in Christ and what Jesus has done for you. You were a dead man walking or a dead woman walking. Paul tells us what he did. And he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The word quickened
means to inject and bring back to life. That which did not have life now has life. As an unbeliever, you were dead and enslaved to your rebellion and sin to God. But when Jesus Christ got a hold of your heart and your life, and you gave your life to Him, and you accepted the gift of salvation that He so freely gives, life was injected in you that you did not have before, and could not experience in any other manner or fashion. You literally have become a new creature in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us that as well. As being a new creature, what does that mean? Well, Paul is telling us that there are really, in this text, and when we were going through Galatians, he made it very clear, there are really two world spirits, if you would. The German term is Zeitgeist, or spirit of the age. And the world spirit of the age, which men follow that do not know Jesus Christ, is laid out before them by Satan. And he desires to control and manipulate people's lives and hearts. And he does it through lies and deception. He does it through presenting that which is only destructive as being that which is good. And what you see is evidence of it throughout the world. This morning, we mentioned earlier, and I don't know whether it was in Sunday school at the beginning of the service, the fact that who can you believe? Because people just lie. They lie for their own purposes. They lie for their own benefit, to gain whatever. They lie to cover up their sin and rebellion. They lie to try and destroy the truth. That's the spirit of the age in which we live. Now in the Olympics, I flip through the headlines on my phone and it says, for the first time in the Olympic history, two men will be boxing for the women's championship. What sounds wrong with that? Is that a lie or is that a lie? I don't care if these guys went and got a whole bunch of estrogen and pumped it into their bodies so that they could kind of appear to be a woman. They're still a man. And both of these guys have pummeled their women opposition. The first match was between one of these men and a young woman. After 45 seconds of having her head beaten, she sat down in tears and quit. He's bigger than her, stronger than her, and was never intended to be able to beat her with his fists. But the world says, for the first time, we have two men fighting for the world championship, Olympic championship in women's boxing. Can the lies get any worse? Oh, yeah, they can get worse. And you see them all around. But I want to tell you something. Before you were quickened by Jesus Christ, you were part of those lies. Now I've got guys at work. I haven't watched one deal of the Olympics this year. I'm not going to. Why would I? It's mocking God from the opening ceremonies through what we see they're doing in the competition. It's all to destroy the author of life and the one who brings truth. I've got guys I work with that they thought it was funny to see some of the stuff in the opening ceremony. And they just continue to watch the Olympic Games. They've got to get home tonight and watch the Olympic Games. Lies. You know what's happening in England right now? England, which gave us great preachers. England, which gave us some of the great hymns that we have in our hymn. Charles and John Wesley were English. Charles Wesley, we sang some of his hymns this morning. Some of the greatest missionaries in the history of the world came from England. Slavery was stopped in England. And today, churches have been converted into mosques. People, Islamic thugs, are running up and down the streets of the major cities in England with sticks, beating the British people. And they elected a government that is nothing but lies. That's where our country is the spirit of the world. In our country, it's the same thing. Lies. You have a constitution that we're supposed to follow, that God, unique in all the history of the world, most unique document besides the Bible in the history of the world. Yet today, people say we don't have to follow it. Today, we've got people that literally lie to your face. You know, according to the way that our government is set up, is to be a representative government of the people. And we're to be a government where we have representatives that go on our behalf. We are not a democracy, by the way. We're a republic. There's a difference. But do you realize what has happened as far as a Democrat candidate for president? That woman has never had to really win anything and went all the way through the California, all the way up to vice president, and now running for president, never having to be in primaries, never having to be elected. What kind of representation is that? You can disagree or agree with politics. That's not the point. The point is you've got people like Robert Kennedy Jr. who wanted to run for the Democratic office of president. They wouldn't allow him to be in the primaries. And instead they manipulated everything, and now they've got a woman who never had to face anybody. In the last primary she ran in, she was the first one to bow out. Lies. It's all based on lies. But I want you to understand, you should not be surprised, because this is the world spirit. This is the world spirit. What I want you to understand is, what is your position in relation to lies? Well, first of all, you've been quickened. You who were dead in trespasses and sin have been made alive. there was somebody who was dead and you had their physical body and there was no life left in it because they died, their spirit and soul had departed their body and they had a dead body. I don't care what you put in front of that, the body would not respond, right? Wouldn't. You say, I'll give you $10 million if you'll get up and walk to the back of the room. Nothing. You could offer them anything and nothing would happen. They're dead. I want you to understand why it's so difficult at times to talk to people and you try to show them the lies. They're kind of like that dead man. They can't respond. They're not seeing. They're not hearing. The Bible tells us that Israel's main problem, and go and read, that's why we were given all of Scripture. That's why the nation of Israel, God used the nation of Israel not only to give us the Bible and to give us the line of the Messiah and to bring the Messiah here and to make them a picture of what He was doing not only in their lives but in our lives as well. But the amazing thing is the nation of Israel often acts the same way as we do as Christians, and they, in the Old Testament, they'd forget about who God was. And whenever you read in the Old Testament that they turned their back on God, they became just like the dead men around them. They didn't understand. And they did that which was destroying them. We're going through the life of Solomon right now in 1 Kings on Sunday afternoons and Wednesday nights. What's amazing to me is to look at the beginning of Solomon's life. An amazing account. The man asks for wisdom because he says, I am but a child, I don't have understanding, I don't have wisdom, yet I'm supposed to lead this mighty people. Give me wisdom, Lord. And God says, you have chosen wisely, I will give you wisdom. And I'll add to it all these other things. But the amazing thing is, the wisest man in the world, and the Scriptures tell us that people came from all over the world to sit and listen to Solomon's wisdom. Yet this wisest man in the world turned his back on God at the end of his life, followed the pagan gods of his wives, his many, many, many wives, that God never said he should have 700 wives and 300 concubines. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. Somebody asked me, how could he even see them all? You know, you add up the days, you wouldn't even see your wife one day a year. You wouldn't even do that. One day every 2 years. Maybe every 3 years. Not God's plan. But the end of Solomon's life, he's bringing Israel to the position that's going to send them on a trajectory that's going to ultimately lead to them departing from the land by being taken away. First the northern kingdom by the Assyrians, second the southern kingdom by the Babylonians, later on by the Romans when they come back and then they are dispersed again. And it's all because of their lack of faith in God. And he was the wisest man in the world. Didn't apply his wisdom to his own life. And you have the book of Ecclesiastes. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon goes through all the things that he's done in his life. I want you to know, Solomon would make billionaires today pale. He had so much gold. We're talking tons of gold. And silver. And horses. And chariots. And servants. And buildings. and cities. And he talks about it in Ecclesiastes, and he goes at it and he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Why is he saying that? Because the things of this world, apart from God, are nothing but emptiness. The word vanity means empty. It means it has nothing there. It's totally empty. And you can pursue all the things of this world, but if you do it apart from God, there's nothing. And what Satan wants you to believe is that there's really something. What kind of a prize is it for a guy to beat up a woman? What kind of a prize is it for a 6'3" or 6'4" swimmer, 230 pounds, to swim against a 5'10" woman and tire, but he gets a trophy? Because we don't want to be prejudiced against him. Lies. And what kind of a trophy is it? It's meaningless. Because it's based on a lie. And that's what Satan wants us to believe. So Solomon, one of the amazing things is, I think, and I pray that Solomon at the end of his life got his act together, because he does say in Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity, all is vanity apart from God. If you do not do the things of your life with God, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You know, there are pastors who spent their whole life in pulpits and their ministries are vanity. Because they never brought God into the pulpit. There's a guy right now who's got the biggest church in America, or one of the biggest churches, stands with a Bible as a prop just about every Sunday when he teaches. I'm not going to even say he preaches, because he doesn't even preach from God's Word. He'll throw out a couple of Bible verses, take them out of context, and then tell you psychological stories all for an hour that bring tears to your eyes. That is not bringing the Word of God and challenging God's people. That is not presenting the gospel message. That's the spirit of the age. So Paul tells us there should be a difference in our life. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Before you became a Christian, that was you. Before you became a Christian, that's where you were going. That's what you would fall in line with. That's what you would think would be okay. Well, you say, well, I don't think it's okay for a guy to beat up a girl. No, but that spirit existed in you. You'd look at God's Word and you'd mock some of the things that God holds dear. How do I know you would? Because you didn't give your heart to Jesus until you gave your heart to Jesus. And it's when after you gave your heart to Jesus that you no longer mock the things of God. It's important that we understand what Paul is saying. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In times past, before you became a Christian, your life was not based on truth. Your life was following deceptions to one degree or another. You say, well, there's some really moral people in the world, some really upstanding people. What about them? Well, he answers that question in a little bit. Because if we think that somehow we can earn our salvation and our morality is based upon our ability to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and do it, we're walking in in the greatest pride of all. Because we're saying, I don't have to believe God. I can do it myself. And I don't have to look at who God is and why He sent His Son and why His Son went to the cross. He didn't have to come to the cross for me because I'm big enough that I can morally pick myself up and do it right. That's the greatest pride of all. That's Satan's pride. You know, a lot of people, they don't even believe in Satan. Don't believe in the devil. But he's real. How do I know he's real? I see him active in the world every day. But the Bible tells me he's real. He tells me he's a real person. And he tells me that evil is going to intensify in the last days. And then the Bible reveals to us what the last days are. I believe we're living in the last days. We talked a little bit about the Middle East at the beginning of the message. The Middle East itself is a picture that shows that we are living in the last days. Israel was never in the land until 1948. They came back into the land after being gone since just shortly after Jesus died. In 70 AD, when the Romans dispersed them amongst the nations, they were never back as a viable nation. They were as a recognizable nation. There were always Jews that lived in Israel, but they were just a very, very small minority, and the land was desolate. It came back, and just as God said, it would blossom as a rose when the Jews came back, and He would call, and He'd bring them back to the land. You realize there are Jews going back to Israel today, even in greater numbers than ever before. The chief rabbi of the nation of France said, "I am calling all Jews, go to Israel. There's no future in France." And with Muslims going down the streets of England with sticks beating people, there's no future for the Jews in England. There's no future for the Jews in Europe. They're going back to Israel. Just as God said they would go back. And He says that these would be the events, and you look at the world events that are going on, and you're seeing ethnos rising against ethnos. Nation rising against nation. Ethnic group against ethnic group. Isn't that what the wars are all about? At the heart of the wars is wickedness and evil. But go to Africa. Ethnic groups against ethnic group who have fallen into believing the lies of Islam, and some who have followed Jesus, and they rise up. And all over the world you have war. You have pestilence. Not only regular pestilence, but we get man-made pestilence on top of it. That means disease. Never before, I mean, I don't know about you, but these mosquitoes are really getting weird. Because every mosquito bite I get these giant welts. Never used to get giant welts. I get giant welts now. What's with the mosquitoes? There was just, my wife was out buying some fruit the other day and talking to the guy that's selling some of the baked goods at this farmer's market. And he says his brother had just come back from getting a tick bite and just about died from a tick bite. When I was a kid, you get a tick bite, nothing ever happened. Today you get a tick bite, you better be prepared. Bible said this was going to happen. But you know the amazing thing is, it said in the last days there was going to become God's people that said they were God's people wouldn't believe this book. And apostasy would be the greatest sign of all. All you got a table out there, three tables filled with books. Many of the books deal with apostasies that are in the churches today. Everything from people would believe giving their lives to a psychiatrist and doing everything a psychiatrist did instead of opening this book. Lies. And the world tells us, Satan tells us, you were there. Before you became a Christian, you were caught up in the whole system. But when you became a Christian, God opened your understanding and your mind so that what? You could understand the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We find the life when we come to the truth, and we come to it by the way of Jesus Christ. You can never have a truly discerning spirit until you know Jesus. I just want to give you an example of the world's thinking. In our city right now, we've got a problem with homelessness. And they just come out and they're going to create a new homeless shelter, and they're putting the new homeless shelter right next in the major shopping area of our city. It's going to be real close to West Acres and all that's out there, all the shopping that's out there. And that's where they're going to put the new homeless shelter. And I think this is a great idea. We've already got businesses that are struggling. And all of a sudden, I can guarantee you what the result is. The panhandler rate is going to be increasing at West Acres, at the strip malls, at the restaurants. Why would you do that? A few years ago, they wanted to have a place where if you were addicted to drugs and alcohol, you could go and have a place to stay, but you could do your drugs and alcohol. And then they were going to put that in the middle of a residential neighborhood where there's kids. Now, to a Christian, you go, these are really conflicting things. You've got family and children. You've got people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, living in debauched lives and sin, and you're going to put them together? But to the world, it sounds like a great idea. You see, they think different. Why? Because Satan is directing their paths. The father of lies, the father of deception, the one who brings everything by strings and mirrors. I was watching a guy one time, and he was talking about people who are the magicians and they do these magic tricks. And he said the whole thing is to get you distracted on something else so you don't see what's really happening. The card tricks. Well, all of a sudden, he's got all these 52 cards, 52 different cards, but all of a sudden he knows your card and he can pull your card, and it's... But he says, I knew what your card was before I even started. I manipulated it so you picked the card, and then I kept on to that card, and I manipulated it so you didn't see that I kept that card exactly where I knew where it was. But I knew where it was all the time. You didn't. You thought it was being shuffled in, but I had kept it in a different place because I deceived you. I kept your attention on something else and told you a lie. I told you I was mixing them all up. I wasn't. I knew exactly where it was. And so all of a sudden I could just pull it out and show it. Is that your card? And everybody goes, ah! It's amazing! No, it's deception. Satan is the father of deception. And we are not to be deceived. He says, but God... And I want you to see but is there. Whenever you see a conjunction which is but, that is a transformational conjunction. That means that there's a transformation of thought that's occurring. It just came from explaining where we were before we became Christians. We were nothing but deviants ourselves. It's just the level of deviancy. But in the eyes of God, one sin is as bad as another. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Okay, first of all, he says, God is great in mercy. If He wasn't great in mercy, you and I would all be judged. You and I would never have come to exist. You and I, He would have judged Adam the minute Adam sinned, and it would have been all over with, and God would have said, well, that is done. But He didn't, because of His great mercy. He extended Adam mercy. He extends us mercy. Before you became a Christian, He showed mercy to you. He didn't bring to you what was due you. Instead, He gave to you what you didn't deserve. And that is His love. We do not deserve the love of a God who we would mock every day before we became a Christian. And you would mock Him in various forms. Profanity takes various forms in our lives. And that's why he says our conversation. Conversation isn't just our words off of our lips, it's our whole lifestyle. And so when he's talking about when we weren't Christians, our conversation was in opposition to God. Our whole lifestyle was in opposition to God. And you may think, well, like I said, I'm not that big deviant. I'm not homeless. I'm not a drunk. No. But look at what you believed and what you did. So God showed us His mercy, expressed to us His love, and He says, even when we were dead in sins, when we were dead to God, enslaved in sin, He quickened us. He gave you life through Jesus Christ. The gospel was presented to you, and He said, receive, take. And He offered you a way out of death. He hath raised, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. By God's grace. What is grace? Grace is He extends to us that which we really do not deserve. And He gives it to us anyway. A prime example of a sentence that contains the great depth of God's grace is that when we were dead to sins, yet He quickened us. Yet He gave us life. Yet He called us to Himself. Yet He revealed to us the truth. Yet He showed us how to be set free and then set us free. That's the depth of God's grace. We didn't deserve it, but He did it for us. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to understand what that means. Paul is saying, well, you're all sitting here. It doesn't look like heaven to me, so what is this? Positionally, it's as if you are in heaven with Jesus right now. There's going to be a day where that's going to be a reality. Where we will rule and reign right alongside of Christ. But positionally right now, it's as if we're in heaven with Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. And so as you being a Christian and sitting in the heavenly places, should we be caught up in the muck of the slime and covering ourselves with the dirt of the filth of this world? As far as just walking in it because we love it. Peter talks about the fact that the true Christian is different from the one who just gives verbiage to the fact and says, I'm a Christian, but I'm not really a Christian. I just do it because of whatever reason. Maybe I want to join the club. Maybe I want people to think that I'm something I'm not. I don't know. But he says the amazing thing is if you are not really a true Christian, you will return to your own vomit. Just as a dog returns to its own vomit. Dogs can be disgusting. They can be nice pets, but they can be disgusting. They like to eat grass, then they throw it up, then they go and eat it again. It's disgusting. But he's saying the one who isn't a true believer is like the dog who returns to its own vomit. Or it's like the pig. If you've ever raised pigs, pigs have a problem. They have a problem staying cool. And so what they do is they wallow in mud and they roll in mud and they wallow in filth because it's a way they stay cool. So you can take a pig and you can get it ready for the fair and you can scrub it all down and you can have this little piggy all clean and sharp to show at the fair, and you better hang on to that pig, because if there's a mud puddle out there and you somehow let go of that pig, the first thing he's going to do is go run into the mud puddle and roll around the mud. Even though he's all cleaned up on the outside, but he's still got the same problem. That's what Peter is saying. If you haven't been transformed in your heart through the blood of Jesus Christ, eventually you're just going to go back and do what you did before. And so he's saying here, God showed us the depth of His grace, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That means eternally, folks. For eternity, we're going to see the riches of Christ Jesus. It's not just for today. It's eternal. For by grace you are saved through faith. Now what is faith? We talked about that before. Faith is believing in the evidence of things not seen, but yet we know they're there. And so we're saved by faith. I have never seen Jesus Christ. I've never seen God the Father. I have never seen heaven. I have never seen hell. But the Bible tells me there's coming a day when I put my faith in God that all of this that He tells me is true, that is a reality, and the reality has already begun because I'm already seated with Jesus. My place is there. And by faith, we walk with Him. Now, how do I know that this book is true? All one has to do is look at the two spirits of the world. Which one shows love? Which one shows life? Which one reveals all the things as they really are? And which one tries to deceive people constantly, lie constantly, try to make things something they're not constantly? That's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Then, and this will close out in the last couple of verses, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to tell you, boasting is prideful. Our flesh loves for us to be exalted. Jesus, who is God come in the flesh, came in the meekness of life. Not in arrogance and pride. And we are to reflect the character of our Redeemer. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And this is the final thing that I wanted to wrap it up with. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to tell you, the whole plan of salvation that was laid out before God even created anything was that you and I could walk in that plan of salvation. That you and I could accomplish things that God would have us accomplish. That you and I could live the truth in our lives and reveal that truth and bring glory to God in everything that we did. And He had ordained works for you to accomplish before you were even redeemed. And now that you have been saved and come to Jesus Christ and received Him as His Lord and Savior, you need to understand the great things that God has in store for you to do. Because you are to stand as evidence and truth of the reality of the existence of God. As we're going through the book of Isaiah, one of the purposes of Israel was created as a nation by God, was so that the world could see that God is God. Right now, you are going to see prophecy fulfilled. I don't know if it's going to be in our lifetime, but it's getting really close. The war of Ezekiel 38 could be very soon. The establishment of a one-world government is getting ever closer. Just as Scripture said. But guess what? God's in control, not Satan. And you and I have been here like the nation of Israel to bring glory to Him of the reality of His existence, the depth of His love, the showing of His grace, and the fact that He has called you from darkness to light for a purpose. And may we understand that purpose. And may we live that purpose. And may we bring honor and glory to Him. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity You've given to us. And we thank You for the Apostle Paul who has given us the book of Ephesians and the fact that Your Spirit recorded it for us. And that we can understand our position and our place and our purpose. We can understand the great spiritual battle that's going on. We can understand the number of people that are still out there lost that need to be reached down and presented the gospel so they can be drug out of the miry clay. And Lord, I pray that You just help us to realize our purpose in all of this. And help us to walk in the newness of life that You have given to us as You quickened us from death. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.